We're coming to a conclusion now in the book of James. We've been in James since January. So maybe this message and maybe one more, and then we'll finish up. But in coming to a conclusion, James deals with a subject today that is important to all of us, and the emphasis of this passage today certainly would be prayer. James had a nickname. His nickname was Camel Knees. Tradition outside of the Bible tells us that he got that nickname because he spent so much time on his knees in prayer to God. This morning I want to talk to you about in touch with a world of hurt. As we've gone through the book of James, we've talked about how faith works. The way we see faith working today is through prayer. When we pray for those who are hurting. Individuals this morning are hurting. Families are hurting. Countries are hurting. People in the world, all over the world, are hurting, and you may be one of those people. And so what the Bible does is to address this issue, and the way James addresses it is this way, that what we can do to help people is to pray for them. To do what we can in prayer, to do what we can in reaching out, to do what we can in touching a world of hurt. And so we'll talk about that this morning. I want to talk first of all about how people can hurt. That is seen in verse 14 and 15. But let me read this passage and then we'll come back to these verses. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is any one among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. James identifies three types of people here. Like I said, people can hurt. But he identifies three types of people who can hurt. Is anyone among you? See, the Word is speaking to all of us today. This Scripture was written in the first century. Here we are in the 21st century, and it applies to all of us today. So what the Word says to us today, is anybody here today? Anyone among you today suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Are you praising God? Are you joyful today? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. So we see here that people can hurt. We live in a world of hurt. The sickness here can be, it's not limited to physical sickness. What James is writing to here is a people who feel tremendous pressure. They're under emotional pressure. They're under physical pressure. They're under all kinds of pressure, all kinds of things. So it's not limited just to physical sickness. The word for sick here literally means to be beaten down, It means to be weary. It means to be weighted down. In other words, he's writing to people who, you know, they feel like they cannot go any further. There's just so much pressure on them. They just feel like giving up. If that is you, if that is where you are, then he says, pray. Seek God and pray. Pour your heart out to God. Bring your concern to Him. Bring your pressures to Him. Whatever it is that is weighing you down, bring that to God. Why? Because God answers prayer. He does. God answers prayer. And so he says, are you cheerful? Could be that you're joyful. And what you see here is the different stages of life. You know, some people are in the valley. Other people on the mountaintop. They're joyful. They're praising God. They're in a state of just everything going, you know, in a good way. The first group of people here, not so. The second group of people, you know, everything's going smooth and everything's great. He said, if that is where you are, then you praise God for it. And you thank God for the pleasures of life and enjoyment of life that you find. Is any among you sick? That is physical sickness. That's spiritual sickness. Spiritually dry. Spiritually not where we want to be in our relationship with God. Spiritually dry, it could be emotionally. And that's what the word implies. It implies all that. It is not limited just to physical illness. So if we feel that way, physically, if there's something bothering us physically, in a physical way, if there's a sickness, then call for the church to pray. Ask people to pray for you. Now, the anointing of oil here in this day was medicinal. They used the anointing of oil in that day because of their, you know, where they were and the time they lived in. It helped people feel better. Today, for us, here's what it would mean. It would mean to call on people to pray for you, call on the church to pray for you in your time of sickness, if it is physical, if it's spiritual, if it's emotional, whatever it is, and for the church to do what we can to help. That's what this means for us today. Any anointing of oil today would simply be symbolic. That's what it would be. It'd be a symbolic gesture because here's what we know. The healing power is not in medicine, it's not in the oil, it's not in, you know, all that. You know, medicine, doctors, all that. We need all that. But here's what I believe. God is the ultimate healer. God is the one that gives the doctors the wisdom. He's the one that helps us, you know, have the medicines that we have. But here is what it's saying to the church. If people are hurting, and as people of faith, we need to reach out to those who are hurting and do what we can to help them. So James is bringing that home here. So the bottom line is God heals. All healing is from God. Now, here's the mystery in it. The mystery is this. Why doesn't God heal everybody? Why isn't everybody healed? And so that's where I struggle. And that's where many of us struggle because, you know, we do pray for healing, but everyone is not healed. Some people are healed. Everyone is not healed. But here's what I know. God answers prayer. God still heals today. And God knows what's best. And so I just leave it with Him. And we pray in faith, as the Bible says. And then in verse 16, he talks about how perspective can help. The perspective here is horizontal. And the perspective here is vertical. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about sin. And he says, if we sin, what we need to do is to confess that to the Lord. And so let me talk about that. There are some sins that are private And if those sins are private, they only need to be confessed to God alone. And that's it. Some sins are personal. And so he's talking about this horizontal perspective, you know, getting right with God. You know, make sure that we're right with God so we confess our sin. But if it is personal, then what he says is, I need to make that right with that person, confess that to that person, and get that right. Some sins are public. As a pastor, I'm recognized in this community. If I were to commit a public sin that brings disgrace on the Lord and drags the name of this church through the mud, that is a public sin that is known, that I need to deal with that in a public way. And so what he's getting at here is the horizontal perspective, making sure things are right with God, and trying to the best of our ability to make things right with each other. So he says, this is what we need to do. Now there's usually two extremes here. One extreme is that some people believe that God, it is God's will for everybody to be healed. The other extreme goes this way. It is that if anything is wrong with you in a physical way, it's because you've committed some kind of sin. That is not the truth of the Bible. But usually that's where the extremes are with this. But what he's saying is, that let's just make sure. Make sure we're right with God. That we are where we need to be with Him. And then, to the best of our ability, be where we need to be with each other. Do you see how this perspective can change a lot of things? It can change a lot of things physically. It can change a lot of things spiritually. It can change a lot of things emotionally. So all that comes into play here. So that's why he deals with this thing of a perspective here. So he presents the petition here. He presses the petition here. And then what he does is he persists in the prayer. He persists in this petition that he makes. And then thirdly, here's the truth. Prayers can heal. Prayer works. Prayer can do what God can do. If you want God's power released in your life, you know how that comes? That comes through prayer. Now, the way James illustrates this is to go back to the Old Testament, and he talks about a man in the Old Testament by the name of Elijah. And he talks about a circumstance in Elijah's life where he prayed. And so he's saying, now here's what prayer can do. If you want to know what prayer can do, here's what prayer can do. Elijah was a prophet of God, and he prayed that it would not rain. He was in a conflict with Ahab and the king. And so because of that, because of everything that was going on in the nation of Israel at that time, conflict happened between the king and between Elijah, the prophet of God. So here's what he did. He prayed that it would not rain. For 3.5 years, there was drought in the land of Israel. After 3.5 years, the Bible tells us that Elijah prayed again. And they came to Elijah at the end of those 3.5 years. They said, we see a cloud in the sky. This cloud is dark. It's in the shape of the fist of a man. But it's getting bigger. And it's coming this way. And you know what happened? It rained. I mean, it rained. And so, here's what he's saying. He's saying to us that prayer can work. Now look at it here. Here's what he says. He says in verse 16, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent, prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. Elijah, just like we are. See, that's what he's saying. He's a man who had emotions like we had, a man, just a common man like we are. You look at this, and when he talks about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, you know, the tendency is to say, well, that doesn't include me. Well, it does. If you're right with God, and you're saved, and you know Him, then you're a righteous person. But what it refers to here is, you know, the righteousness that's lived out, being right with God. Like I said, the horizontal and vertical perspective here, right with God, right with each other, that's a righteous man. But it is effective to pray fervently, a fervent prayer. The word fervent means stretched out. I mean, you're just stretched out on your face before God. You're pouring everything out to Him. You're praying. And whatever it is you're praying about, if it's physical, if it's emotional, if it's spiritual, then you're fervent about this thing. And then he says, it avails much. Prayer can do what God can do. Not like this. Now see, here's where you see it in Elijah's life. The Bible says he prayed earnestly. And look at verse 18. Do you see the first phrase there? He prayed again. Amen. So you keep on praying. He prayed, and he prayed again, so he didn't give up on the prayer. He just kept on praying. Why? Because prayer works. It avails much. In other words, God answers prayer. Sometimes His answer is direct. Sometimes it's delayed. Sometimes the answer is different than what we expect. Sometimes the request is denied. But regardless, God answers prayer, and He always knows what's best. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it here. But here's what Elijah's prayer teaches us. It teaches us how faith works in this way. Prayer, we pray in order to help other people. See, that's what we're doing here. Is any among you sick? Are any joyful? You see. Are any under pressure? And so we're praying for hurting people. What we learn from Elijah too is that prayer, in prayer we desire the will of God. Whatever God's will is what we desire. And then we pray expecting God to answer. Fervent prayer. Expecting prayer. We pray because prayer avails much. Elijah was praying about the weather. That was his prayer. He prayed about the weather, and God answered that prayer. It was a prayer of, you know, Elijah was just an ordinary person. And if God can do that to the weather, and God can answer prayer for Elijah, He can do the same for you, and He can do the same for me. That is what prayer can do. So a helpful insight here to Elijah's prayer would be this. His prayer was personal. It says he was a man like us. His prayer was passionate. He prayed earnestly. His prayer was purposeful, that it might not rain. That, you know, he had a purpose in praying. And then it was persistent. He prayed and he prayed again. And then you see God intervene. How did God intervene? Here's how God intervened. God stopped. God started. God stopped the rain. 3.5 years later, God intervened, and He started to rain all over again. Talking today about being in touch with a world of hurt. Who do we need to pray for today?
Who do you need to pray for?
What is it in your life that you would like for us to pray for you about? And so that's how we get in touch with the world. That's how faith works. As believers, we pray for each other. As believers, we pray to God. As believers, we believe in prayer. That's what we do. But it seems like that many times the tendency is this, that prayer becomes the last resort instead of the first resort. And we do everything else, and then we pray. And so what this Bible says to us is this, the first thing we should do is pray. Now, let's bring this to a conclusion, okay? People all around us are hurting. You may be one of those individuals that's hurting this morning. God knows. And I'll say this, God cares. What prayer teaches us is that God is good, God is gracious, and God is kind. Prayer teaches us that what touches your life touches God. And if it touches the heart of God, then He is concerned about that. He's aware about that. Folks, anything it is, we just need to bring to Him. And we need to leave it with Him. And we need to seek Him and pray and just seek God's will and just turn it over to God in prayer. I asked Jeff for a hymn time this morning to sing one of my favorite songs about prayer, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I want you to know He is your friend. And whatever it is that's causing you hurt and pain in your life, I want you to know that you can bring it to Him. As the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Let's stand for a time of invitation. Lord, we know that we live in a world of hurt. There is physical hurt. There's emotional hurt. There is spiritual hurt. And Father, we know today from this passage that as believers, we need to be in touch with those who are hurting. Father, we need to have the right perspective when it comes to this matter. Because this is how faith really does work. And that's what we're talking about in the book of James. That's what we've been preaching about and talking about, how faith works. Faith reaches out in prayer and touches those who are hurting. And Lord, today we just have so many things on our hearts and minds this morning. I pray that as a church today, that we all would make this day a matter of prayer. Not only to pray for ourselves, but to pray for others. To pray for those hurts. To pray that You would do only what You can do in these situations. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Father, I know today how this passage spoke to me in a mighty way. Israel went through a time of natural drought. Of dryness. There was no water from heaven. There's no rain from heaven. Lord, at times we go through spiritual drought. We need the rain from heaven. We need the fire from heaven. We need the the Spirit from heaven to fall upon us and to help us during these times. And Lord, we just pray for that. We pray for a season of refreshing. We pray for a season of rain. We pray for a season of your blessing. God, send those showers of blessing. Father, we pray for those today physically who are hurting. There are some here today in our congregation. They're here today with us. But Lord, they need a physical touch from you. They need healing. Father, mostly we pray that you'd send healing. And spiritually, we desire for showers of blessing to fall on us today. In your name we pray. Amen.